The Mother Earth Report with Belinda Maklitsky.
Hello, Mother Earth. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And you?
Very well, thank you. Belinda, we put out about guerrilla gardening.
Because
I think that I just had completely the wrong idea about it. And Rodney has sent us these beautiful photos of his gorilla garden. So first define it for us, and then I'll tell you what he sent us.
Okay.
Thanks, Rodney.
So I think it's a wonderful thing to be doing when we are sitting under the shadow of the sixth extinction. So what it is it's someone who gardens on land which they do not yet have any legal rights to. And this can be as minor as walking around with your own seeds and just tossing them wherever you walk, or actually occupying land such as the Tiisa Nabanye project in Cape Town, where they have occupied an abandoned piece of military land and created a farm on that piece of land, and have lived also under that shadow of eviction rather than extinction in this particular context. So do tell me about your gorilla gardener, please.
Nothing even remotely similar to that. I have got a picture in front of me of, let's call them empty cool drink bottles, look to be filled with earth and sprouting plants and hung up from a washing line. Unless we're taking the concept of space to mean something else, I don't know.
Okay.
I love that creativity on it, because it's clearly a veranda garden or a balcony garden. I love the creativity of that.
Okay, we're not talking about creativity though. We're talking about a gorilla garden and what it is. So you're saying it's commandeering space that doesn't belong to anybody to make it productive.
I think we should commandeer all of our traffic islands in Johannesburg and plant vegetable gardens to feed the starving people. That's exactly it, and that really is
what's happening in Cape Town quite a lot. I live near Lavender Hill. We have these great contrasts of our beautiful areas next to ganglands, and there are women who have commandeered areas in Lavender Hill in the middle of all the shooting and the gangs to create these gardens. And what is so fascinating about any urban farming, especially guerrilla gardening, is that you start creating social capital that wasn't there before. These women are born into situations, socioeconomic circumstances that are totally disempowering. And once they start gardening and eventually forming farms and these co-ops, they are able to speak to NGOs, to people in government, and they change their socioeconomic standing through forming networks. So it goes so far beyond merely saving the planet. And it does bring us, it brings up so many ethical questions, such as who does own the land? And when we see the extent of the abuse of our planet, and we speak about that every week, how do we actually stop those who are trying to produce growth, and in the context of throwing human law at it? So that is a very, very exciting development. So it's called guerrilla gardening because of the aspect of this grey area of what is legal or not. But in Cape Town, we have some actual urban farms, and such as the one in Oranjezicht, which is a legal one. In addition to the other one that would have been defined as guerrilla gardening, we have one in Nyanga, and they're springing up all over, and they have markets attached, and people are able to purchase produce, fresh organic produce, weekly. And I think it's so important to realize, in fact, Josephine Favre said this the best. She heads up the African Vertical Farming Association. Food security should not be seasonal, as hunger is not seasonal.
True. Absolutely true. You know, I want to tell you something else, Belinda. I was recently in Israel, and I was staying in this lovely little suburb called Rehovot. And the trees lining the sides of the road are all orange trees. Aside from the fact that when they are in blossom, you are just walking, and I'm talking about main roads.
Now I can imagine it. That smell is, as I you're can walk, smell it.
Just the smell of this orange blossom. But aside from that, during the summer, or actually it's during the winter, you have these oranges that are ripe and people pick them and eat them. Why are we not doing that?
That's perfect. And maybe we should actually see if we can implement a similar project here. I'm thinking Muizenberg down our road here, we have all these palms. I mean, and they're doing nothing.
Yeah.
Except getting battered by the wind. But what is also, that's, it's beautiful. I definitely would like to think about how we could implement something like that, because there's so many starving people. You could have the homeless picking oranges, walking down the road. What's become a big thing now is I spoke about FAVRE. The African Vertical Farming Association has been predicted to be the next big thing, vertical farming. And I want to just quickly to make sure that I do get this in, that there's a lady who has got a very successful rooftop farm in Hillbrow. So I don't know if it would be safe for you to go check it out. But yeah. There is a lady called Sibongele Chele who heads up the Mchebo Wealth Rooftop Farm, and she's been farming organic produce for over 2 years very successfully. And Signium Africa have predicted that hydroponic rooftop farming co-ops are the next big thing in commercial agriculture. Fantastic. And the women, again, are a demographic that are succeeding mostly in this endeavor. It's black, small-scale entrepreneurs, females. Female gender, that is the demographic. And so we've got a whole class of people who are rising and feeding a new generation.
Absolutely amazing. Belinda, that is where we leave it this week for the Mother Earth Report. Looking very forward to speaking to you next Tuesday. Have a wonderful week and happy Workers' Day for tomorrow.
Thank you.
Take it. Bye-bye.